Let's bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the invitation to enter into your kingdom. We ask that you help us to recognize the importance of your call and to respond with open hearts and eager spirits. I ask that you grant us the wisdom to strive to be among the chosen, not only in name, but in action and faithfulness. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel lesson, we're told about the parable of the wedding feast, which is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. You see, Jesus often used parables to communicate truths about God's kingdom. And most people just weren't ready for that. You see, the problem with parables is that most people didn't understand them because they weren't open to receiving our Lord and Savior's message, or they were actively rebelling against it and his teachings. See, this is something that Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. So I'm hoping that you will understand the parable more as we get into it and examine it, which will serve both two purposes. It'll serve as a warning and an invitation. This parable takes place at a wedding. I know, otherwise it wouldn't be called a wedding feast, right? Weddings were very important because they were community events. It symbolized joy and celebration, but it was also a covenant that was being made between the couple that were getting married and also the couple as a one body and God. See, the first thing that we notice in this parable is that the king extended an invitation to everyone. In verses 2 through 3, the king sends out his servant in order to invite those guests. This act of an invitation reflects God's desire to have a relationship with us, his creations. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 2, we read, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare." The call that was sent out is a call to come to the God, and it's both universal, and on top of that, it's free. God invites everyone, and he's offering a grace that you can't earn. The king in our parable, as you might have guessed already, represents God the Father, who prepares a great feast for his son, which symbolizes the marriage and the union between Jesus Christ and his church. But despite the king's invitation, the people were invited made excuses. Some go to their farms and others go to their businesses. And some even go so far as to kill the messenger. This represents the distractions and the priorities of life, those things that often lead us away from God. In verse 5, we read about the tragic response that begins, "But they made light of it." That meant that they refused to come because they didn't consider it important enough to be there. It wasn't worth their time to be there. Now remember that this is considered to be a very big and a very important gathering. The person hosting the wedding wanted to show the community how important it is for them and for their family, for them to be there. Now imagine someone finding something else to do instead of wanting to be there with you after you spent all of that money and all of that time to do those preparations. And I'm sure that it wasn't cheap. I know that I'd be ticked off for lack of a better word. And that's putting it lightly. So I can only imagine what the king must have felt. And I'm sure that he must have spent a whole lot more money than I would have been able to spend. The rejection of the king's invitation is similar to what we heard in the parable of the great banquet in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24, where they made similar excuses, such as, I have to look at my land, I have to tend to my oxes. But the only difference between the two is that the invited guests didn't feel a need in that parable to commit a violent crime, such as murdering the messengers. And that led to the king's retaliation in verse 7. This rejection, it speaks of a reality that unfortunately shows that many choose the worldly pursuits over the spiritual feasts and the spiritual gifts that God offers them. In verses 8 to 10, the king then orders his servants to go into the street and invite anyone that they find. And it doesn't matter if they're good or bad, as long as they come. This shift, this change towards grace and inclusion has now opened the door to salvation for not only the Jews, but for the Gentiles, who were once considered bad, of course. God wants all of his people, regardless of their past, to have access to his kingdom. This applies also today. And it includes the lost, those who've fallen by the wayside for whatever reason and stopped coming to church, and those that are unchurched and never have been introduced to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16, Paul states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." This gospel invitation is not limited to the elite, and it's not limited to the devout. No one is beyond the reach of God's grace, because it's for everyone. Amen. However, not everyone who came to the feast was accepted. In verses 11 to 13, we encounter the man without a wedding garment. Now, this seems kind of confusing, to say the least. But it emphasizes one essential truth, and that's about being prepared and being transformed. The wedding garment symbolizes righteousness, which isn't something we achieve on our own. It's given to us through Jesus Christ by having faith in his blood and a want in our need in our very hearts and our very souls to want to follow in his ways. And that's something that even today we confess false wants when we're in front of people, when we're in a church, but we refuse to live the life that God wants us to live as we exit out the door. It's something that will not get us into the kingdom of God by being superficial. And it's something that we need to be aware of going forward. Amen. The man's silence when he was questioned why wasn't he dressed right, it spoke volumes to the king, because he couldn't make an excuse for his lack of preparation. You see, in our Christian walk, we're called to put on our new self. As Paul instructs us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, which states, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, the consequence for the man without a wedding garment is that he's cast into outer darkness, which reveals the seriousness of our response to God's invitation. It serves as a warning that while God's grace is plentiful, while it's abundant, we have to be prepared to enter into this presence with respect, with faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 warns us to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one, and I mean no one, will see the Lord. This emphasizes the importance and the necessity of a life to be transformed by the gospel, by the word of God. It's not enough to simply accept the invitation. We must also be clothed in Jesus' righteousness. We must be prepared to change our ways and to do what is right. Finally, we arrive at the conclusion of the gospel lesson, and to me, the second most important part of the parable, which in verse 14 reads, "For many are called, but few are what?" There you go. Few are chosen. I love it when y'all respond back. Y'all were paying attention. I like that. This verse, I believe, captures the entire message of the parable. The call to the wedding feast goes out to everyone, but not everyone responds appropriately. It begs the question about who are the chosen. So I'm going to clarify that for you. The chosen are those who accept the invitation, prepare themselves for it, and live according to God's will. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We belong to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into where? His wonderful light." It's for everyone, not just a select few, but you have to prepare yourself, because this is our identity in Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. We're chosen not just for our benefit, but to fulfill God's purpose in this world. My brothers and sisters, the main purpose of the parable of the wedding feast is for us to reflect on our relationship with God. It's to remind us that his invitation is open to everyone, but it requires us to be prepared, and it requires us especially to be transformed by his word. We have to be ready for that transformation. Let us be mindful. No, let me change that. Let us forever be mindful of God's invitation and make sure that we come dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and following his ways, and be prepared to celebrate our place in the kingdom of God when our time comes on that faithful day. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.